Yeah, it's all black for now.
Yeah, yeah.
My color.
Can I pass it down?
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure. Just.
Thank you. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, just, I'm just.
What?
Oh, it's, oh, it's
yeah,
gonna
it's,
be.
It's,
oh,
okay. It's black on purpose.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll turn on. Okay, so.
Yeah, I just want, yeah. David Kosic is from. I'm sorry.
I'm from Croatia, but I study in Vienna.
Yeah, from the University of Vienna.
Yeah.
It is a part of the research group from Teresa Matzinger. Yeah, it's going to talk to phonoesthetics or,
Thank you. Thank you. So as you've heard, my name is David. I'm here to present a study that I've conducted under the supervision of my mentor and lecturer, Teresa Matzinger, who's also sitting here supporting me. And the study is entitled The Effect of Aesthetic Appeal on Words Memorability. So before I start, I want to give you a little bit of a background, which is kind of general knowledge, but I'll get into the part that's not general knowledge. So we all know that kind of this obsession for aesthetics has been around ever since there's been civilization. So we had this obsession across all different modalities, across civilizations, across time. We had the cave paintings, we had the dances, the music, every sort of thing. And the fact that the only artifacts that we have from those periods are material, this has led to many philosophers and dictionaries to this day to define aesthetics as purely a philosophical discipline dealing with artistic value. But more recent studies suggest that this might be a too narrow of a definition, because aesthetic appeal can be experienced in everyday events. So for example, you can experience it when looking at landscapes, but also more relevantly when listening to different prosodic patterns and phonemes. And one additional kind of breakthrough in this was that aesthetic appeal could have a positive effect on memory. And I'm not really a neurobiologist to tell you a lot about this, but fundamentally what they're saying is that the positive emotions that are triggered by pleasant experiences kind of help consolidate memory. And so based on these two notions, this kind of raises a question whether it could be that aesthetic appeal has a could potentially influence language acquisition. So we started from this, and we set our hypotheses, which were namely that if words containing appealing phonemes are indeed more appealing, they will be rated higher. And regarding memory, if words containing appealing phonemes are in fact memorized better, then they will be recalled more frequently. In order to test these hypotheses, we had to first start with creating some stimuli, and we decided to make them trisyllabic. And they were supposed to be English-sounding pseudo-words, English-sounding kind of to eliminate the problem of lack of familiarity. And we made them, and we decided to give them all the same structure. So they all started with a consonant cluster that's possible in the English language, then a vowel, another consonant, and then a standardized suffix -ius. But then we needed to fill in the gaps, so we referred to a paper that was written and published by David Crystal in 1995 called Phonoesthetically Speaking. And here he compiled a list of words that are typically regarded as very appealing. So for example, here we have autumn, caress, peace, velvet, dawn, whisper, peril, crystal, and mist. And what he did was he kind of dissected these words and he analyzed which phonemes seem to appear more frequently in those words as opposed to in conversational English. So he came up with lists like this one. This one is particularly about consonants. So on the left side, you can see the consonants that are the most frequent, well, in order of frequency, that are the most frequent in conversational English. And on the right-hand side, you can see the same sequence, but in the words that are considered aesthetically appealing. So we took this list, and we kind of wanted to include the most appealing phonemes in the appealing stimuli and the least appealing in the unappealing stimuli. And that looked kind of something like this. So at the top, you see an appealing stimulus, clesius, which contains l and s, which are more appealing phonemes. Then you have critius and tuchius as unappealing. And here's the full list of the stimuli. We had 12. On the left, you can see the appealing, in the middle, the neutral, and on the right, the unappealing stimuli. Now, moving on to the experimental procedure, it was fairly simple. So we tested this on 79 native English speakers, and we started with stimulus exposure, where they were exposed to both visual and acoustic stimuli. Visual primarily kind of for them to have a reference point later in the recall so they could write down what they remember, and acoustic, that was kind of the primary stimuli. And each stimulus appeared in random order 6 times for 3 seconds, which is, according to literature, kind of like the perfect number for stimuli to kind of stick in the long-term memory. And the 3 seconds also gave the participants enough time kind of to say the words out loud, to repeat them again, to kind of stimulate memory formation. And then the second part was simply a written stimulus recall, nothing really special to say about this one. And finally, a rating on a 7-point Likert scale from the least appealing to most appealing. Okay, and now moving on to the results. So regarding ratings, this is what we got. It's not really exactly like we hypothesized, and the neutral stimuli were rated the most appealing. The difference between neutral and both appealing and unappealing was significant, but the difference between appealing and unappealing wasn't. And now moving on to the memorization, this is exactly like we hypothesized, with appealing stimuli being significantly more memorable than unappealing. It's kind of difficult to see in this plot, but it is, in fact. And neutral stimuli were in the middle. So we were kind of confused with what happened with the rating, so we came up with a couple of possible explanations for this. So the first thing that could probably explain this is the familiarity effect, where the high frequency of appealing phonemes in English language might have caused boredom, which would also cause the decrease in the ratings. But it could also be that it caused overstimulation, but I'll get to that point a bit later. And the opposite effect with the infrequent phonemes, which might have caused discomfort and uncertainty and therefore also drop in ratings. This is also supported by Berlin's inverted U-curve concept, where the most familiar and the least familiar kind of concept items, stimuli, will always be the least favorable, and those in the middle will kind of be, that's kind of the soft spot, and they are the most favorable, or in our case, that would be the most appealing. And we can actually see this if we look at each of the individual stimuluses rating. So if we create a line, we kind of see this inverted U-curve, if we smooth it out a little bit. Another thing, another idea that we came up with, was that appeal and liking kind of work in a feedback loop, where appeal and liking are two different concepts, really similar but different in our eyes, with appeal being something that's objective that could potentially, theoretically, should be measurable, and liking is kind of like the subjective experience of liking something. And so if for some reason, be it some contextual reason, maybe cultural, a stimulus, a word kind of experiences an increase in appeal, this might have a negative effect on liking because of maybe overstimulation that I mentioned before, and then this decrease in liking will have the same effect on the appeal, decreasing it, right? And then the liking will again go up until they both meet, like they both arrive again at the baseline and continue spinning in circles all the time. One other interesting thing about the results is how they're analogous actually to facial attractiveness studies, where morphs of faces are always continuously rated as the most appealing, but the faces they're composed of will always be more memorable because of their unique and outstanding features. So now moving on to the implications. So we discovered that there is an apparent link between language learning and aesthetic appeal. However, someone should still look into whether appealing and neutral patterns boost learning, or the opposite, that unappealing patterns hinder learning. And also, we should kind of look into the frequency and familiarity effects and the direction of causality, which is unclear. And now to kind of briefly conclude, it seems like single phonemes do indeed have intrinsic appeal, and that their appeal kind of influences their learnability. And if we speculate a little, we could conclude that aesthetic perception might be a relevant bias in language learning. And if we go a little bit broader, then through transmission, maybe language learning could also have an effect on the formation of languages' phoneme inventories, so ultimately on the cultural language evolution. And that'd be it. Thank you very much. I hope I didn't speak too fast. Sorry if I did, but yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Are there any questions?
Sorry?
How do you make your students learn the ugly words?
The ugly words?
Yeah. Like the ones that are deemed less appealing.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
If you learn the foreign language, you have to learn all the words, regardless of whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
Right? So is there any way in which you can use this to actually benefit, you know, the learning of a language?
Well, I think it's... Yeah, we didn't really look into that. I think that wasn't really the primary interest of the study, right? It was mostly like to see if phonemes do actually have their intrinsic appeal and if that makes them more memorable. But we didn't really look into techniques how you could like use this to kind of promote or, I don't know, learn better, you know? Yeah, so I don't know. I never thought about that. But yeah, interesting question in any case.
If I may, just as a short feedback to that. I think it's just like different categories because according to my experience as a foreign language teacher for some time, there is also a factor of some words being not beautiful or ugly but outstanding, and that's why you don't really need to put any effort into memorizing them because they're paradoxically funny and then they just stick into the memory. But that's a different phenomenon, I would say.
Yeah.
So there are much more factors, yeah, and that's just one of the aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly what you said, yeah. I mean, obviously, this is a pseudo-language, so this is very, very different, but, like, yeah, when it comes to a real language, it's the outstanding features kind of that, and also the semantics of it all and linking it to other concepts that actually helps you, yeah, kind of elaborate on it, and that's how you learn it, but here we're looking at phonemes specifically, yeah, and not content words.
You had a question?
Do you know the meme of Obama giving himself a medal? That's kind of what Crystal calling crystal an appealing word seems
to be. Oh yeah,
to
true. I didn't even think about that.
That's not my question. My question is, how do you know that something is appealing? An appealing phoneme without counting in sociocultural aspects of aesthetics?
We don't. Okay. We don't really, but it seems like, so basically what Crystal did was, it wasn't what he thought. It wasn't what he thought. He instead actually looked at, there were many polls, there were many, I think Tolkien, like he compiled lists of words that are appealing, and then some journalists and many other authors, and then he kind of took them all together, created a bigger corpus, and then he analyzed those. So it's just like what seems to be appealing, but so there's no objective way to kind of...
Okay, so it's
yet.
Based on ideas that other people
yes.
found appealing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Question, I'm not entirely sure if I understood your differentiation between appeal and liking. Would it be, could you say that like appeal is more of a population level phenomenon and liking more an individual level phenomenon?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting characterization of that. That's good, but like how I would explain it is that appeal is something that ideally should be measurable, you know? Like temperature, something like that. You know, you could measure it objectively, and then liking is a subjective experience of that, you know. Yeah, but as you said, that's actually really interesting because, yeah, appeal is maybe defined culturally in a way, and then like an individual may or may not be under this influence and have their own subjective liking for it, you know. So, yeah, I think you described it well.
Yeah.
Just a short, maybe two short questions. You mentioned that the stimuli were presented like as spoken. How did you get them? Did you have a professional speaker or?
Yeah, me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was also standardized. Could have been better probably, but like, yeah, I tried to keep the length kind of equal so they're not faster, slower, whatever. Also, I normalized them so that the volume would be the same and kind of the tone as similar as possible across all of them. But I'm not really a technician. I'm not that good with audio editing that I could do it perfectly, obviously. There were some variables there present, but it's as good as I could get it. Yeah.
The other question I have was, what was the reason that you chose to start all the work with a constant cluster
that was arbitrary. That was completely arbitrary. Yeah.
Because there's like a limited amount of allowed like constant clusters in English in the onset, and they probably can't be filled purely with the like most appealing consonants, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, yeah, I should have mentioned that, but not all the phonemes had to be appealing, and not all of them had to be unappealing. This was not really possible, especially with those two conditions. But we calculated kind of the average. So, wait, I'll have to go back to this list that Crystal created. So here, here you can see those numbers, right? In the middle row, right? And we kind of took those for each of the phoneme, and then we calculated the average of the entire word, and then we made sure that kind of the difference between each condition was big enough. So for example, the average rating of appealing phonemes would be about 40 to 45, 46, I think was the highest, and then for unappealing was around 15 to 20, 23, 24, something like that. So we calculated the average. We couldn't really stuff them with only appealing or only unappealing. And also, like, it's not possible to kind of create lines here, right? It's a gradient. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we have...
I'm not sure.